I consider it a privilege and honor, you know, whenever Josh is away, steps in to ask me to speak. You know, I'm so grateful to be a part of this church, to be a part of this pastoral team. And I don't know if you noticed that things never change just because he's not here, right, with the worship and everything else, because that's what it's supposed to be like. Things are not supposed to be changing. Jesus, when he came and, you know, called his disciples, it was about team. We are all part of the same team, okay? As believers, we just all have different positions and things that we have to do, but this is a great team. It's a great church. We have great elders and young people and everything else, and God wants to do, you know, a special work through us the same way he did a special work when he sent his son Jesus to the earth. Amen? Is this a little ringing loud? Does it sound crazy to you? Huh? No? It's just me? Okay. I'm the crazy one then. Okay, thanks, all of you. But praise be to God. Just let us pray. Eternal Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this opportunity, dear God. Father, I just pray in the name of Jesus, God, that they may hear all of you and none of me. God, that they may see all of you and none of me, oh God. Release your word. Allow your Holy Spirit, dear God, to touch the hearts of your people, dear God, motivating them to be more like you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want you to turn to Matthew 4, all right? We're going to be talking a bit today about following Jesus. Amen? Look at my family that snuck in on me and all that in the back. That's my sister and her husband and my little niece back there. Wave high. Bless you. All right? How many was blessed by Dan Muller last week? How many got an opportunity to come into the services and bless? You know, we're a blessed church to allow, you know, God allows people to come into our lives in, you know, in different ways and everything. And we're so blessed to have people to come in and minister to us and, you know, with affirmation and confirmation of stuff. Maybe it's something that you already heard that God was already speaking into your life. And that's the way that God works. You know what I mean? He just affirms and confirms what you have already heard, you know, so that way you know that you're going into the right place. God is not going to lead you in the wrong place. Everybody know that, right? God is always going to lead you. His spirit is going to lead you in the right path now that you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. So in this chapter of Matthew, this is where Jesus is starting his ministry. Jesus, okay, was baptized in the Jordan in chapter 3. And now he was led into the wilderness, all right, to be tried and to be tested, all right? And all of us that claim to be believers in the Lord and Jesus Christ, I got good news for you. This gospel is about good news, right? You're going to be tried and you're going to be tested. That's good news, ain't it? But you're going to be tried and you're going to be tested, because how else is God going to know, or how else are you going to know that the faith and the prayers that you believe in are true? Unless you were tried, unless you were tested. He is our Savior. He is our leader. The book of Isaiah says, I have given you a leader and a commander. And that's Jesus Christ. So if he has been tried, if he has been tested, guess what? And you're following him? Because we're talking about following Jesus today. That your life is going to be tried, and that your life is going to be tested for everything that you're worth. All right? But guess what? Because of the one that lives inside of you, greater is he that is in you than he that is in this world. Greater is he that is in you than the obstacles that you're going to come up against. Greater is he that is in you than the trials and the tribulations that's going to come in your life. God knows what he put inside of you. He just uses the trials and stuff to get it up out of you. All right? There's nothing in this physical earth that you could use that you bring up out of the ground. Everything has to be refined. From gas to diamonds to rubies to pearls, everything has to be refined. Guess where you came from? The dirt. And you got to be refined too. Amen? So that's what it's all about. So if you understand, all right, Jesus, you understand Jesus' ministry, you understand the prophecy that came in the book of Genesis 12. When God told Abraham that he was going to make his name great and he's going to bless him and he'll be a blessing, all right? And all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. Amen. Because of that promise. Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of that promise, all right? 42 generations of Jesus before Jesus hit this earth. All right. As I was studying and reading and going back and, you know, and, you know, learning some, he said, all the generations from Abraham to David are 14. The generations from David until the captivity in Babylon, 14 generations. And from the captivity in Babylon until Christ are 14 generations. That's why you got to hold on to the promise. No matter what God has promised, you got to hold on to the promise, because the promise is coming. The promise is coming. See, God sent Jesus in the fullness of time. God knew exactly when to release the problem for the earth once and for all. Amen? Amen? Once and for all. Because, see, God ain't got a sin problem. He took care of that on Calvary. We the one that got the sin problem. All right? Once and for all. Jesus went to the cross once and for all for all of us. But here's Jesus. He's, like I said, he's been baptized into Jordan. He went through the wilderness. He went through his trial, and he came out with power. Does everybody understand? You're going through for a reason, that you're going to come out with more power than what you had before when you went through what you went through. Amen. If you allow the process to take place. Yeah. All right? You can't jump out of the process, because then you're not going to get what you need to get. But anyway, I'm starting out in the 15th verse of chapter 4, and I got a little thing from the Amplified Bible. All right, and it says, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, in the way of to the sea beyond the Jordan of Galilee, of the Gentiles, of the peoples who were not Israel. So in other words, if you read the Bible, the Old Testament, the Israelites were God's people, and the Gentiles that didn't know God yet. All right, so this was their region that Jesus had came into. And he said, the people who said, they dwelt and was enveloped, totally surrounded in darkness, have seen a great light. For those who sat in the land and the shadow of death, light has come. Jesus is the light of the world. Amen? And that's what he said about you, believers who follow him, that you are the light of the world. You are the salt of this earth. Everything that Jesus is, you are. As he is in the world, so are you. Okay? You are, and that's the way that you have to see yourself. Sometimes we don't see ourselves as that, and we don't understand why we get into situations, difficulties, and all this, because you're around people that sit in darkness. They hear your voice. They see your action. They don't like this. Darkness don't comprehend light. All right? It ain't got nothing to do with you. Well, unless, of course, you didn't take a shower or something, you know, then it got something to do with you. But there's a lot of times where it's people act crazy towards you because of the light that you are shining. It's because of the spirit that you are propelling. You ever been around people, you be standing around there and the back of your hair stand up? Okay? So you know something ain't right. Same way they know something ain't right. All right? So the people in this region have seen this great light that has come. And from that time, Jesus began his ministry. Understand this. Jesus was 30 years old when he started his ministry. He was that baby that was in Bethlehem. He was a little boy. All right? He grew into young adult, he was a teenager, and all that. 30 years. 30 years Jesus was in this earth. 30 years Jesus went to the synagogue. It said that it was his custom. Jesus entered the temple, which was his custom. So for 30 years, Jesus was going to church. He was seeing everything that was going on, because you have to understand, in between the New Testament and the Old Testament, there was 400 years of silence. God did not speak through any of his prophets. Nothing. Malachi was the last prophet that God spoke through. And then here comes John the Baptist. A voice crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way for the Lord. Amen? Amen. Now here comes Jesus. And he's going to start his ministry. All right? And here he goes. The first thing he did, he said, from that time, Jesus began to preach, crying out, repent. Which means to change your mind for the better, heartily amend your ways with abhorrence, which means hatred, to your past sins, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And a lot of people get caught up with that kingdom thing because they don't understand. The kingdom of God is the reign and the rule of God in your life. Amen. That's what the kingdom is all about. And that's what Jesus came, that's what Jesus preached, that's what Jesus taught, okay? Jesus' message taught about you entering into the kingdom, and it was up for the people to open their heart to allow the kingdom of God to come inside. And it's no different today. It's up to you, because I can preach here till I'm blue in the face. I can run you from Genesis to Revelation, but if you don't open your heart and to receive anything, I can't do nothing. Amen? It's up to you. And God has given each and every one of us the capacity to receive. God has given each and every one the capacity for us to hear his voice. Today is the day of the Lord. Harden not your heart. Amen. Amen? So here comes Jesus telling them that you have to repent, which means you have to change. All right? The kingdom is about change. The kingdom ain't about you coming up here, saying the prayer, and you still live the same old life. That's not the kingdom. Because there ain't no reigning and ruling in that if you stay the same. All right? God comes to bring change in each and every one of our life. God comes with his spirits to bring transformation in your life. Okay? To repent means to change. All right? If you're planning to go to New York and you're going north on the thruway and you're making good time doing 80 miles an hour, that's great, but you're going the wrong way. You're going the wrong way. So what good is it? Amen? Because that's what sin does. It has you going the wrong way of what you've been created to be. Sin means missing the mark. I'm missing the mark of what God originally created me to be. Amen. To have authority. To rule and to reign. Stuff ain't supposed to be reigning and ruling over you. You're supposed to be reigning over it. Amen. But because of sin, like Dan Muller was saying last week. Don or Dan? Don. I'm Don. He's Dan. Okay. All right? Like Dan Muller was saying last week, because we live out of that Adam seed. Okay? Because, see, if you don't understand what you're born into, you won't understand the new birth. See, a lot of people don't understand that you're a sinner. Yes, you are. You all got the cooties, whether you like it or not. Everybody that came in after Adam, after the fall, was born with original sin. A heart of rebellion towards God, the ways of God, the will of God, everything about God. All right? Now here comes Jesus, starting his campaign of changing things around. Because you have all these Pharisees. Like I said, they're 400 years of silence. You got these boys, they had the law and everything, and they added 600 rules and regulations that didn't have nothing to do with the Bible. All right? Because you notice, if you read the Bible, you read the scriptures, Jesus never had a problem with nobody except for who? The Pharisees. And the only time he went in the temple was to mess with them. Anything else, his ministry was out here in the fields doing this and doing that, but he had to bring stuff back in order, right? Even when he released his disciples, he said, listen, go to the lost sheep of Israel first, right? Because that was his people. Get them first before you start doing all that. Definitely do not go to Samaria, because you're going to mess that up. All right? Because of the prejudice that was in there. What's the first thing that lady said to him when he went to the woman at the well? How is it that a Jew is talking to the Samaritan? Okay? Because of that prejudice. Jesus had to go fix that first in order for that Philip to do what he said. Because Philip, even as a deacon, it said that Philip went into Samaria. All right? And the whole place was changed. Why? Because Jesus went in there and cleaned everything out. So that's why we got to follow him. If we're going to do exactly what Jesus did, then we have to follow him. Amen? Because then it says here that as he was walking by the Sea of Galilee, he noticed two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, okay, throwing his net into there. Hold on, let me rewind a little bit about Jesus, okay? Understand one thing about Jesus, that everything about Jesus' ministry points to sin. All right, Matthew 1:21, it says of Mary that she shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their what? From their sins. All right? The sin nature is what makes you sin. Okay? Because you're going to see in here, it said sins and sins, and people get a little confused with that. Sins are just the result of that sin nature, that Adam nature. Okay? Here you go, John 1:29. He said, the next day John saw Jesus coming towards him and said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. All right, Jesus came and dealt with that sin nature. Okay, a nature that was rebellious towards God. John pointed him out. That's the guy right there, that he's going to take away the sin of the world. So see, God ain't got a sin problem. We do. Because he took care of it. God got tired of that. He got tired of all them sacrifices, got tired of this, got tired of that, people falling and going that way, going that. He said, I got to fix. I got something to fix this. Here comes Jesus at the cross. All right? So sin can only operate in your life if you allow it to. Once you come to the revelation of sin in Jesus Christ, the only way sin can operate it in your life is if you allow it to. So you can't blame nobody else for your mess except for you. Amen? Then the church said. Okay. 2 Corinthians 5:21. It says, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God. Righteousness meaning a right standing with God. Because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross and your acceptance of what he did on that cross, his payment for sin, which is the only thing that God will accept. All right, everybody understand that? If you're listening, say amen. Amen. That you are now the righteousness of God. You have a right standing with God. And because of the Holy Spirit that lives in your life, you have a right to have your prayers answered. You have a right to go before the throne of God. You have a right. Because of what Jesus did. You have a right. I don't care what anybody else says. You might not like it, but I got a right to say what I say. Amen? Then in 1 John 1:7, he says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all of our sin. See, he cleanses us everything. When God comes in, he doesn't do it quarter of the way, half the way, three quarters of the way. He does it the whole way. All your sins are forgiven. Now, you might live in the memory of your sins. That's your problem. That ain't God's problem. All right? That's your problem. Because he done made a way through the cross that the world could be saved, all right, and the sin issue is dealt with. Now here comes Jesus getting ready to orchestrate the church and everything else, all right? You have to understand, Jesus' mission to come into this earth, number one, it was to pay the sin debt, all right, to clear us out the way of the wrath of God, but also to build his church here on earth, which you are now a part of. Amen. Okay? So now he sees these guys. And he sees them throwing in the nets. And he says to them, in verse 19, Jesus, he said to them, come after me as disciples. Let me be your guide. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. God's whole purpose is to duplicate in Jesus in your life. That you're going to get special training to bring other people into the kingdom. That should be your life. I don't care if you're a CEO or a janitor. That's your job. That's not who you are. Your job is to bring people into the kingdom. Care who you are. Because what we do, we allow who we are in the world and our titles to get in the way of who we are in Christ. And we wonder why that world is going to hell in the handbasket. Because we don't understand who I am. We don't understand our purpose. Jesus called them and said, listen, I'm calling you to be a disciple. Which means a disciplined learner. I'm not calling you to put a little fish on the back of your car, a cross on your mirror, or Jesus jeans on your butt, and walk around and think that's it. I didn't call you for that. I called you to be a disciple. I called you to be a disciplined learner of this word. I called you to be a disciplined learner of my ways and the will of God. That's what you were called to do. That's what the church was called to do. That's it. All that other stuff. People always say to me at the job, I don't know what to call you, pastor this and that. I say, listen, my name is Donald. Pastor is what I do. That's what I do. Don't get confused. Jesus said, follow me and I will make you. Disciples are not born, they are made. Okay? Disciples are made. We are disciple-making church. That's what this church is all about. So if you don't want to be made a disciple, you're in the wrong place. Amen? Because we understand the principle. I understand the principle. Anybody that knows me and know me for a long time know one thing about me. If you're going to be around me, you're going to start being a disciple. You're going to be a disciple. Every year in our home group, we do the Sermon on the Mount. Every year. Why? Because they're the kingdom principles. That's God's character and your conduct. Everything that Jesus taught about the kingdom is in them three chapters, 5, 6, and 7. Read it. That's your homework. Go home, read the Sermon on the Mount. Keep reading it for 30 days until it gets inside of you. Okay? Why? Because there's no way on this earth that you're going to pray for people who despitefully use you and persecute you and say all types of manner evil against you. It is not in you unless the Holy Ghost is in you. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. That whole thing, that whole three chapters, Jesus is teaching about the kingdom principles. A disciple. You call yourself a disciple of Christ? Disciples give when you give, when you pray, and when you fast. You call yourself a disciple of Christ? That should be your life. Giving, praying, and fasting. All right? The reason why some of us look the way we look, because we don't turn that plate over and fast. I guarantee you start turning that plate over, you can give Mac Jim their money back. You can give them their money back. You can save $22 a month or whatever it is. All right? But see, you have to understand, Jesus said, I'm going to make you fishers of men. And then at once, they left their nets and became disciples, sided with his party and followed him. They left everything they had. These guys had a business. Okay, they had a business. But there came a point in their life where they just said, okay, I'm going to trust you for everything. I'm going to trust you for the provisions and everything else in my life. It's about following Jesus. It's about understanding what this word is. It's about understanding the forgiveness that he poured out on the cross so that you're able to pour it out to somebody else. You know? Because you're family. Everybody knows you don't pick your family, you pick your friends. Because there's some in your family you wish weren't in your family, right? I know I'm not the only one. But because of the cross and because Jesus said, Father, forgive them, they know not what they do. Now you are able to extend forgiveness to other people. Why? Because you follow him. Amen? He's in the way. Okay. Because you follow him. Correct? And you got to follow Jesus. There's going to be time in your life that you're going to have to follow Jesus into Gethsemane. There's going to be times when you're going to say, Father, is there any way that this could be done? But then there's going to be a point, if you're following Jesus, say, not my will, but your perfect will be done. Yes. That your perfect will be done, dear God. And then it says that, after going a little further in verse 21, from there he noticed two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John, in the boat, and they were putting out their nets. And he called them, and once they left the boat and their father, and they joined Jesus as disciples, sided with his party and following him. And he went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the good news of the gospel of the kingdom and the healing of every disease and every weakness and every infirmity among the people. When God shows up, I don't care what sickness is in the house, it's leaving. See, when this gospel is preached, when you understand that Jesus went to the cross for every infirmity, every sickness, every disease that was ever in this earth, because disease and all that didn't show up until Adam disobeyed. You can't be in fellowship with God and be sick. Okay? Let that sit in there for a minute. All right? Because as he is in the world, so are we. Did you ever hear of Jesus having the cold? You ever hear of Jesus having the sickness? You ever hear of Jesus having anything? No. See, when the kingdom is preached, when the reign and rule of God is in your life, when the reign and rule of God operates in your life, nothing can get in your life. But we have to take care of ourselves too. All right? We have a part to play in this. Your health, your sleep, okay? What you eat, what you drink, okay? It's a little inside joke between me and my wife. All right, what you eat, what you sleep, because you have to understand, everybody that's in this food industry is about making money. They don't care about that. They don't care about what they're putting out, how fast they make it. A lot of sicknesses in this earth is because of that genetically modified stuff, because they're putting stuff in your body it was never intended to be put in your body. So you better start reading them labels about what's in there, that high fructose corn syrup and all that, man-made sugar. It's no good for your body. Takes too long to get out. Okay? You understand? So the kingdom is about the power of God, the reign of God. You know, when Jesus came in, things changed, man. That's why the Pharisees had a problem with him. Who are you? All right? He said, I forgive their sins. Who are you? How are you going to forgive sin? Okay? He had to change things around. Jesus definitely had to change things around. But the disciple, you have to understand something about these disciples. Man's greatest need is for salvation. You do know that, right? Your greatest need is not for another car, another house, a bigger bank account, more friends, and all that. That's applause. But your greatest need is for salvation, to be saved. And that's what Jesus taught about the salvation of God, is your greatest need. Because God will provide. He is provider. He gives, right? But the disciples, okay, they are disciplined learners in the ways of God. But one thing I learned in studying this is that these disciples, number one, they were unlearned men. They were unlearned. Jesus knew exactly what he was getting with these guys. And he probably said, great, these guys don't know nothing. They ain't like the Pharisees who think they know it all. Okay? So great, I can mold these, I can make you, I can shape you. So if you hear it for the first time, you say, well, I don't know nothing about God. Great, you're in the right place at the right time. All right, these are unlearned men. These are unlearned men. But they were accustomed to hardships and hazards because the fishermen trades, more than any others, was very laborious. It was perilous. Fishermen were often wet and cold. They had to wait, which we don't like to do. They had to watch, they had to toil, and they learned to bear the hardships and to run hazards and were best prepared to be in fellowship and discipleship with Christ. Your heartache and your pain is the right place where Jesus wants you to be. Everything that you went through, because Jesus knew, following me is going to cause you heartache, it's going to cause you pain, your family's going to walk away from you, friends are going to walk away from you, everything is going to, you know, change. But because you was able to endure in the physical before the spiritual happened, you're in the right place. You are qualified to be the disciple, all right? You are qualified to be in fellowship with me. See, God uses everything. Don't think that what you're going through, like I'm the only, because we all think that I'm the only one going through this. Nobody understands what I'm going through. Give yourself a break. Yes, he does. He understands it all. And sometimes he puts you in that situation and circumstance so that you can see who he is, but you can see what's inside of you. God knows exactly what he placed inside of you. And he knows if I don't put you in that situation and circumstance, you'll never know what's inside of you. Right? You'll never know. If God never, the book of Numbers talks about, I will lead you by unfamiliar paths. That's in the word. I'm talking about following Jesus. Okay, we cannot follow Jesus physically like the disciples can, but we can follow Jesus through the word. Because the Bible says, in the beginning was the word was with God, and the word was God. So just don't think just because you can't figure everything out and you ain't got the right answer for this situation and circumstance that you're in the wrong place. God said, I will lead them by unfamiliar paths. Because as the shepherd, he wants you to follow him. He ain't following you. That's why David said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. So sometimes you got to say, if I'm living in want, guess what? Who's leading? Okay? Because it says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. All right? He's not taking them out on the thruway to eat because there ain't no grass out there. All right? He leads me beside still waters. Why? Because sheep's wool gets wet, and if he took them by the rapids, they would drown. God knows what he's doing. God knows where he's leading you. Sometimes if you cannot see the path, trust the one that's leading you. He knows where he's going. Because sheep can only see the sheep butt that's in front of him. The shepherd is the one that can look and see the wolf coming. You can't. Right? You remember that first boyfriend and girlfriend? Right? Oh, I just love him and I just love her. And they ain't nowhere to be found. Right? Because you were leading yourself. Boom, boom. Boom, boom, all right? And I was in love, all right? But God is going to lead you, and he knows. Listen, when you do something in your life, God's not sitting up there saying, oh, man, we didn't think about that. God knows everything about you. That's why he has to lead you. Because he knows you being saved, full of the Holy Ghost, talking in tongues, doing black backflips and everything else, you're going to get off the path. You don't believe so? Read this book about them disciples. All right? Look at Peter. Peter's number one, right? First one. All right? Who do men say I am? By looking. Peter, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. All right? Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah. Flesh and blood did not reveal that to you, but my Father in heaven. Now here comes Jesus. Remember? He said, follow me. I got to go so men will betray me and hang me up and all that. No, that ain't going to happen. That's why he said, get behind me. Right? Because you are mindful of the things of man, but not mindful of the things of God. Sometimes we're not going to understand all the ways God is leading us. But we have to trust him enough. If he brought you this far in your life, he didn't bring you this far to leave you alone. And some of us have been through hell and high water, but you're still standing. Right? You're still standing. Why? Because you're holding on to God's unchanging hand. He's not going to change. He's not going to change, but we have to follow him. If we want the fulfillment of everything that God has for our life, we have to follow him. If you read this book and go on and understand that Jesus, okay, he died, he was buried, he rose, he ascended, he's in heaven, he's making intercession for us, okay, he's going to come again. But guess what? We win. We're going to reign and rule. Do you understand that? You're going to be in charge. So why are you getting all upset? Because we're not following him. We have to follow him into the garden. We have to follow him all the way into the cross. We have to follow him all the way into the ascended life of heaven. That's why Paul always says, set your mind on the things above, not on the things of this earth. We're trying to accumulate so much stuff in this earth that's not even going to be here. I'm going to create a new heaven. I'm going to create a new earth. And I'm going to come and reign in my righteousness, and you're going to reign with me. See, that's what the kingdom is all about. It's about reigning and ruling. God's got to put stuff back in order. But it is the church that helps other people get their lives together. It is the church, the Word of God, the Holy Spirit working through you that brings people into a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, that we're no longer addicts, all right? We're no longer living perverted lives. We're no longer alcoholics or whatever, okay? That's the result of sin. Everything you see in this physical earth right now is because of the result of sin. Men's hardened, rebellious heart against God. And since you know that, and you know that he said, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men, that you have a responsibility to speak into people's life, whether they want to hear it or whether they don't. All right? He told the prophet Ezekiel, he said, listen, if I give you a word and you do not speak it, and then people die, the blood's going to be on your head. He said, but if I give you a word and you speak it and they don't listen, that's on them. Okay? It ain't no different. See, we got to embrace the whole counsel of God, not just the little parts that we want. All right? We are not cafeteria Christians. All right? We have to embrace, because you have to understand this. All right? In Acts 4, when the disciples were told not to preach and all that, Peter and John, all right? Acts 4:13, it says, and when they saw, speaking of the Sanhedrin who told them don't speak Jesus' name, and when they had saw the boldness of Peter and John, they perceived that they were uneducated, untrained men. They marveled. They realized that they had been with Jesus. They realize these are the top dogs of the religious sect at that time. But because of disciples that followed Jesus, because of the disciples that went through this 3.5-year training, because of the disciples that had seen the miracles and then start operating, filled with the Holy Spirit of God. That's why I told them in Acts 1:8, go to Jerusalem and wait until you're endued with power from on high. Because, see, you need the power of the Holy Ghost in order to carry out the ministry that Jesus Christ has left. And in that ministry, you are going to run into difficulty. There's going to be powers. There's going to be principalities. There's going to be government, state, heads of state, and other people are not going to want to hear your message. But these guys did not back down. But one thing they knew about anything else, they might be uneducated, but they have been with Jesus. See, because once you've been with Jesus, that's all you need. That's all you need. See, we've been duped in believing we need this. I need that. I need a man. I need a woman. I need a house. I need a car. I need a 401k. I need to pay. Yeah, that's all true. But you need Jesus more than you need anything else, because that money's going to fail you. That 401k is going to fail you, but Jesus Christ will never fail you. Jesus is never going to fail you. You know, I hear so many people talk about how bad the times is, but guess what? You were born in this time. You'd be going, yeah, I'm in the right place at the right time. Come here, let me talk to you. See, because now comes the time for you to tell somebody what Jesus has done for you. He said, when you're a dude on power from on high, you will be witnesses unto me. In Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the other most parts of the witnesses of what? How once my life was out of control, but when Jesus came into my life, everything came into control. That's what we're supposed to be witnessing about. The power of God in your life. Remember what God did for you each and every day of your life. On your job. In the bank. In ShopRite. My wife runs for me all the time. Because all they got to do is open the door and here I go. All right? How many people on your job even know you're saved? How many people? Seriously, let's think about that. We're followers of Christ. We are the light. We're supposed to be shining the light. I had an incident Tuesday. When this guy that knows me, he said, Rev, what's the word for us today? I said, trust in the Lord thy God with all thy heart. And lean not your own understanding, you know, the whole nine. And the guy that was with him, putting the sheetrock on the car, he said, wait a minute. He said, aren't you supposed to be giving us something every day? I said, hold on, I got something for you. Lunchtime, I went to my car, grabbed one of them daily breads and said, whap, here you go, my brother. I said, you could do it for yourself. I said, and there will be a test because I'm going to be asking you. All right? So Friday, the guy that said to me, hey, Rev, all right, Friday, he said, you know what? He said, I'm going back to church. I said, why? What's happening? He said, that guy you gave that book, he reads that thing every day. And what's he doing? He's texting it, taking the thing, and sending it to his girlfriend because he said that she won't read the book. But if I send her that, she's going to read that. Right? Because that's how it works. It's just that simple. You ain't got to be all preachy and all that. Just be what Jesus called you to do. Be fishers of men. He knew they were fishermen. See, because he knew you don't use the same bait to catch sunnies that you do to get great whites. And you have to understand that. You got to know who you're talking to, where they come from, and look past all that potty mouth and everything they got and see the pain that's inside and ask the Holy Spirit, show it to me so I can speak to it. Because the first place sin shows up is in somebody's mouth. And a lot of people that cuss everybody out is because they've been cussed out all their life. And that's the only way they know how to deal with stuff. That's the only way they know how to deal with situations and circumstances. Okay? It's the only way. I work with the most grumpiest guy there is. But guess what? He's not grumpy with me. And everybody says, Don, how do you work with that guy? I said, what? How do you work with that guy? He's so mean. I said, he's not like that with me. And he said it to me Friday. He said, Don, you know what? He said, yeah, I mess with all of them. He said, I don't mess with you. I said, yeah, I know, John. I know. Okay? Because it's who you are. It's who you are. You have the Spirit of the living God living inside of you. Okay? I'm no different than you. I don't got no special pastor card. I was telling them that, you know. At the other server, I don't have no special card where I just go, whoop. Okay, I'm over here now. You just deal with it. I don't have it. I go through the same stuff that you go through every day. But I trust and believe in the one that has brought me this far. I trust and believe that even when I don't understand, I can go hide out in one of them rooms and say, Holy Ghost, help me. What is this problem? That's what this is all about. The church is about following Jesus. He is the Lord. He is the Savior. He is the Master. Okay? And that thing about the shepherd, that little thing he used to carry, the reason why it has a hook is because when they got off the path, he grabbed him and said, no, get over there. Get over there with the rest of them. That's what God does with us through the Holy Spirit. He tugs on our heart. Okay? And the other side got the point. He has to whack you. No, I'm only kidding. No, that was for the wolves and all them other things. But you understand what I mean? If we follow Jesus, that's why Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. And they are listening. What are you listening to? All right? What are you listening to day after day? What do you listen to in your house? Okay? The reason why these kids are off the chain is because of what they're listening to. Your eyes and your ears are gateways. Whatever you listen to, you're going to simulate. Trust me. Been there and done that. And what are you looking at? Sooner or later, you're going to take that on. That's why you got to monitor your children. That's why you got to monitor what they listen to. Because you're the parent. Amen? Yeah. You reign and rule in your house. Yeah. See, in my house, if you ain't paying no bills, it ain't happening. There's only one king in this house. I pay the cost to be the boss. Like it or not, all right? If not, get your own apartment, get your own insurance, get your own cell phone, get everything. But as long as you're here, okay? And I'm gonna love you and give you room and everything like that, but you ain't running this house. So it's no different than anything else in your life. You understand? God has put you in control. He said, let us create man in our image and likeness and let them have dominion over the works of our hands. Dominion means rulership. Okay? Rulership. I remember this dude, and I'm going to close in this, because I ministered no matter where I am. And I was working with this dude, and this dude was big, man. I mean, big. And I found out that he was going in the bathroom doing his thing. And I looked at him, I told him straight in his face, I said, let me tell you something, man. I said, man, as big as you are, and you can pick up everything that's on this job, you're going to let that little piece of foil rule your life. I said, you're going to let that little piece of foil that's only this big to run your life? I said, you need to find out who you are, man. You need to find out who you are. And he just looked at me. He didn't like it, but he understood. He understood. And that's all of us. We got to look at our lives. Look at your situation. Who are you following? Who are you following? CNN? The stock market? Who crashed how many times? Did it back in the Great Depression in 2008. You remember what happened last time. So you know you can't put your money in that. I mean, you can, but don't put it all in there. But you understand what I mean? Who are you following? What are you allowing to be the Lord of your life other than Jesus? Or how about that little bit of cigarette? It's about the size of my finger. You're letting that run your life? Are you serious? When you have the power, the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead is the same spirit that lives inside of you. If God could raise a dead man with no heartbeat, no pulse, and you're alive, think what he could do in your life. But we have to follow Jesus. We have to exercise the faith and exercise the power that God has given us each and every day of your life. And the only way you do that, get in a training manual. The four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, was the training manual for us to see how them disciples lived in every situation and circumstance. And God released them in the power. He sent out the 70. And they came back cheering. Yeah, Jesus, the spirits and everything is subject to your name. He said, hey. Don't get caught up in all that. You hang out with me. That's supposed to be a part of your life. You better be glad that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Not all this other stuff. I'm so gifted. I'm so anointed. All that foolishness that leads to nothing. You understand? Our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That we're going to go in. My name's in the book. Okay? You wouldn't have been to places reservations. You go get on the plane, your name ain't in the book. You'll be a long time in the airport, all right? Or push up in the hotel and your name ain't in the book. You ain't coming in, all right? You ain't coming in. So that's what we have to understand. Let us get back to the place of following Jesus full-heartedly because of what he has done for us. Because he followed the Father. He was obedient, says of Jesus. He was obedient even to the cross. That's obedience. Knowing that I'm going. That my buddies are going to betray me. This world's going to mock me. Spit on me and everything else. But guess what? You are all worth it. Everyone in this room was worth Jesus Christ. Coming, dying on that cross. Being beat. Unrecognizable. Okay? For you. Why? Because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten. The only one. God didn't have 10 sons. He has one son. But you were worth it. See, you got to bring your value level up. All right? I don't let nobody devalue me. You might not like it. You might not like me. So what? That's you. That ain't me. I know who I am. So you cannot tell me who I am because I already know who I am. And because I know who I am, I already know that you might not like certain things I say, certain things I do. But I'm cool with that. So you're going to have to be cool with that because I'm following him. You understand? Because I don't want to miss it. I'm following him, man. I'm going to be on the first shuttle going up out of here, baby. All right? I ain't on standby. Am I getting on? Nah, I done came too far, you know? Amen. Because sometimes I don't always understand the plan. Sometimes I don't always understand where he's leading me. But I've been in fellowship with the Lord long enough to know that he is not going to lead me someplace that's going to end a disaster. He said, I know the plans that I have for you. Plans of good and not of evil. Plans to give you a hope. Plans to give you a future and expect it. I trust the one that wrote the book. Even when I cannot trust the situation and circumstances that are going on around me. All right? And that's what it means to be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because this earth is a fallen place. All right? We're living in a fallen world, broken world. But take your eyes off the peripheral. We're so busy looking here and looking here, wondering here, instead of keeping our focus on the one and saying, like Peter, come on, get out the boat. Get out the boat. Today, God is saying to somebody in this place, get out the boat. He's talking to you like he talked to the children of Israel. You've been going around this mountain too long. Turn right. Turn right. I have placed inside of you greater than what you're living. I placed inside of greater than what you understand. Turn right and go the other way. That's all it takes. You're looking for a breakthrough and all you got to do is turn right. You're looking for a breakthrough and all you got to do is get out the boat. Stop letting fear, doubt, unbelief, and all that other stuff get in the way. And trust God with all your heart and see what happens in your life. Amen? Amen. Amen. Come on, bless the Lord.